How y'all feel? Beep, bad job. Multi hostile. Highly motivated, motivated, motivated.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, everybody. Good Thursday to each and every one of you as we get going on the 17th day of September. Happy 84th to my mom today.
Hey.
Don't think she's probably listening, Shane, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. She's out in the Bay Area this morning, and hope that she has a good day and more than anything, a healthy day. You know, I got to tell you, as we get rolling on this Thursday morning, Shane Dennis with us, and of course, obviously, Max Power, who's producing the show. Last night was a night that I could bear down on Kansas City Royals baseball. And I get popped every now and then for shut up about the Royals. They're this, they're that, blah, 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 blah. And I will just roll out last night and say, take a look. Mm-hmm. This is what we've been talking about. This guy is for absolute real. And we're not just talking about being a good pitcher for the Royals. We're talking about being a good pitcher in Major League Baseball. This guy just continues to roll it on out. Hell, he practically threw a no-hitter the last time out, and he was as good or better last night.
He had no-hit stuff last night, too.
Oh, my God, he was good.
Yep. Yep. Mm. And if after 2 hours and 10 minutes you wanted to do something else, the game was over for all intents and purposes. So it was like a case study for what Brady Singer could be. And it was really
dude,
short.
Something, man. I love him.
Looked
love
the part.
Him.
Looked the part, too, didn't he?
Boy. Mm. He's got it. I mean, yeah. Now, you know, I want to see it in front of a crowd. I want to see it in a hostile environment. There's a lot of things that you want to see, but his stuff is just fun to watch. If you're a baseball fan and you like to watch a pitcher craft, especially one this young, who's ahead in the game. He seems to have a better sense of pitching as opposed to throwing, and that's cliched. You know, when pitchers mature, they pitch instead of just throw, and we all understand that. He's way ahead of the curve in that regard.
Yeah.
Way ahead of the curve. So watching someone like him, I don't care whether it's a six-game under 500 club or not. It doesn't make any difference. When you watch a guy work like that, against a major league lineup, it's a thing of beauty.
Yep.
Thing of beauty.
And it can highlight, well, it doesn't highlight, and I'll get into my nuts and bolts of the Royals in the next segment, but it can, I was going to use Tyler Zuber as an example yesterday, but the game was just such a clunker that it wasn't really worth totally diving into. But
sure.
As a kind of two sides of the coin comparison here on how pitching can be at the big league level, Tyler Zuber two nights ago threw 30 pitches, loaded the bases, and didn't get anybody out. He just showed how hard it can be to get outs in the big leagues. And then he struck out the side and didn't allow anybody to score. Yeah. So it was like a 40-pitch marathon that totally grinded him down to dust, but he got out of it. And so he proved, on one hand, God, it's hard up here. And then on the other hand, it's like, you know what? They're human too, and let's make a pitch and see what happens. And he made more than one pitch. Course, getting out of it after loading the bases, throwing 30 pitches, not getting anybody out. And then you got, on the other side of the coin, Brady Singer, who almost had an immaculate first inning. You just never know when it comes to baseball. And I suppose for those that, I'll generalize here, and then we can get off of it. For those that think it's boring, I guess don't understand how hard it really can be. would be my knee-jerk reaction to those that come with that take, you know? Those guys are dotting a gnat's ass with that baseball on the mound every time they go out when you watch a big league game.
Yeah.
And that.
And he got really good relief pitching afterwards, too.
Almost perfect. Yeah. I think it was perfect. Yeah.
And they were fantastic back behind him. So
yeah.
Baseball is such a pleasure when you get to see a guy like that working his craft and being in control. He was economic. Well, and we're – sorry, I'm ahead of the – but I get excited when I see something like
that. That's
all
right. I'll break it down a little bit more later.
Yeah. It means something to me to watch a guy kind of – the realization that – and the confidence that his stuff is good enough to win at this level and then being able to go out and execute it with impunity. I mean, and it's a really impressive thing to watch the kind of the light bulb go off and then to have a pitcher have the confidence to just go right at guys and to attack them. It's just, it's a great thing. It's one of the things that I love about the game of baseball. So that was my sporting moment last night. I was really pleased that was my sporting moment.
Yep. All right, the off-the-field sporting moment that kind of happened is the basketball season. We now have a countdown, college basketball anyway. NBA, we've talked plenty about, and it continues to get better. But college basketball has a Division I council, and they said yesterday that men's and women's college basketball season can start November 25th. So now we have a target date. We've got something to look for. We've got something to look forward to. Dan Gavitt, who is a senior vice president of basketball for the NCAA, said in part, and I quote, "The new season start date near the Thanksgiving holiday provides the optimal opportunity to successfully launch the basketball season. It's a grand compromise of sorts and a unified approach that focuses on the health and safety of student-athletes competing toward the 2021 Division I basketball championship," unquote. So they have determined that date, or close to it, which is the day before Thanksgiving, 76% of all Division I schools will have either finished their fall semesters completely or released a general student body for in-person instruction.
Okay.
So I guess we just have to ask them to behave for 2 months, and then off we go. And if you do, the chances of you having that little six-week window with, in essence, nobody around but you, we can play basketball.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. It really does
to me. It makes perfect sense.
The oversight committees are not very open-minded about supporting waivers to start earlier than the 25th, Gavitt said in a video. They didn't even allow for any scrimmage or exhibition game to be completed before the 25th. It'd be an extremely high bar to get a waiver granted to start the season any earlier than November 25th. End of.
So when can practice start? Officially.
I think why is September 30th sticking out in my head?
So it's still around the same time.
Oh, no, basically. 21st. The council approved a transition period that allows teams to participate in strength and conditioning and skill instruction for up to 12 hours per week between September 21 and October 13. Full preseason practices can start October 14.
Okay.
So
there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Interesting. Exciting. Really looking forward to college hoops.
Yep.
Really looking forward to it. So, and by the way, I noticed that positivity, testing and positivity is down in Wichita, or is it Sedgwick County? One of the two. I mean, I guess they're basically one and the same, but So that's good news as it relates to us locally, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you hope, once you get to college hoops, don't you hope that you have enough data on how you need, and to their credit, they're using that data already. I think it's really a key thing to not have student body around at the beginning of things, right?
Well, it stands just, to reason that that would be optimal.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. You'd keep no students on the campus. You can keep them under control. You can keep them sequestered and do all of those things, and that's really important. So, because I don't know when the bounce back is supposed to come, if it's going to come. I'm not convinced it's going to come. I don't know about these things on as far as the COVID, but we're not to the flu season yet. That's coming up, and whether or not that's the kind of event that we had the first time around remains to be seen. People forget that there are still some pretty staggering numbers nationally going on. So everyone's got to remain vigilant and be consistent. So,
well, to answer your question about the information and what will we know, 2 months from now or even into 2021, right, will we have a better grasp on it? I just feel like having a default of wash your hands, social distance, wear a mask when in public, those are three pretty good places to start. I don't care what kind of, invisible enemy we're battling here. And as I've said a couple of times, I think there are a few habits that we've acquired or been forced to acquire that we might continue to employ for the rest of our lives. When it comes to, because you never, I mean, this is a, and this is getting off sports a little bit, but COVID-19 is not really much different than any other illness, sickness, contagious disease in that, look, if I don't need to be right next to you, then it probably would benefit me not to be right next to you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been doing. Or if you've been taking care of yourself like I have. And that's taking politics completely out of it. Totally. Taking care of yourself. Sure. And respecting others by staying away, especially now, since we're not there yet. We're not out of the woods yet. We haven't maybe turned a little bit of a corner, but we certainly can't see around the corner yet.
Oh, yeah. We're still in some murkiness. But, yeah, you're right.
But to your point, look, if these college athletes are vigilant and the coaches are pretty clear about, where you can go, what you should be doing when you're not around us. I mean, I went to watch the baseball team practice a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
Even on the field, now they got a bunch of guys out, so social distancing all the time on a baseball field is not always easy. But even on the field, those coaches have the neck gaiters around their necks, and when they're not talking to somebody, they're masked up. And we're talking about a sport where you're outside, for the entirety of whatever your work, the work you're doing. And so it's becoming habit, and if it doesn't, you run the risk of not being able to have your competitive season. I think especially when baseball players, those kids from Wichita State that, for example, played in the Sunflower Collegiate League, the 20 of them or whatever, I think they saw up close and personal how serious this is and how serious you better have to take it if you want to have even a spring season, which was so long in the future when you were talking about playing summer ball for the Cheney Diamond Dogs or whatever, and you got an eye toward 2021. Then you better do this, whether you like it or not, if you want to, especially for those seniors. You want to have a swan song? Well, here's what we're going to have to do. And so it's been inconvenient, I'm sure, for all those kids and a pain in the neck and whatever you want to call it. But in order to have target dates and goals, here's what is expected of you.
Right.
Student athlete.
And the fact that you've got a lot of case study and data from those case studies that you can work on obviously helps and is an advantage to college basketball. You've got a football season that started up. You've got data from the NBA and the NHL, and you've got a lot of things that have been tried, and you've got Major League Baseball, which has been a mixed bag. Some good, some not so good.
Right.
So you've got data, and you've got a fairly good working model if you put it all together on how you should be able to exist. At the very core of it is what you just talked about: an athlete or a group's collective or individual willingness to do the right thing for themselves and for their teammates. At the core of it all, that's the bottom line. Are we going to do the right things? Because it's been proven you can't be casual with
this. And if you don't, you got the Cardinals and Marlins to point at and
exactly.
say, well,
sure
okay,
you,
you want to do
right.
this? Then right. then this is you're going to set us back like these guys did. Or, you know.
Yeah, agree.
So, on both sides of the ledger, you got the data and you've got teaching points to sports that aren't afforded a bubble. And if you get one, or at least a quasi-bubble, the NBA and the NHL have tremendous examples of how good it could be, you know, relatively speaking. I mean, I don't think the NHL had one positive test, did they? All those weeks
right.
that they were in those two places.
And they're still operating in it. They're still operating in it. They're in the conference finals right now.
Yeah. Can you believe the Stars made it to the Stanley Cup Finals? I'm kind of glad Jad's not here. He'd be
It hurts because
the Avs.
They and the Avs were skating in overtime for that exact chance.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of handled Las Vegas. Just
they sure did.
Basically, just handled them. Yeah.
Yep.
So, this is how it happens sometimes. It's like St. Louis last year. I mean, they were the first third of the season, they were abysmal. And then after that, I mean, not only were they the best team in hockey, they won a Stanley Cup.
And didn't the Stars fire their head coach before the before the pandemic?
Yes.
So they've got an interim guy, Rick Bonus, I think is his name, who's a hockey lifer that's just guiding them through this, and they're four games away from hoisting the cup with an interim coach.
Well, you got to love – the NHL has those kinds of stories. In fact – I'm going to break one of the rules of radio, but the interim coach, after Montgomery was fired in Dallas, was a former Thunder coach for just a little bit of time.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll get that information. And until they, you know, decided on which direction they were going.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, small world.
Huh. All right, let's let everybody know what's going on in the rest of the show. It is What's on Tap, thanks to Side Pockets out at Tyler Crossing. We have a little bit deeper dive into the Royals' 4-0 whitewashing of Detroit, and wouldn't it figure, right after they win, they got another off day, but then they'll go to Milwaukee this weekend, and we'll break down the greatness of Brady Singer even in further detail and how top-heavy the Royals' lineup was last night. Plus, at 10 o'clock, we'll have ESPN.com's Ryan McGee. He's got a book with and about his brother and his dad, who was a longtime college football official. So Ryan McGee of Marty and McGee fame of early mornings on Saturdays here on KFH, which you can hear those two guys. So now we've got both. We've had Marty Smith, and now we're going to have Ryan McGee. He's going to join us at 10 o'clock. Plus, the Bengals and the Browns kick off week two tonight, and the U.S. Open is going on, so we'll have some updates for you as we go along here throughout this Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce and Max sitting in this week. And it's 9:22 on KFH Royals Talk. Coming back.
Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis. Find us on the web at kfhradio.com.